This is a presentation of the Dawn Recorded Lecture Service. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Make haste, O God, to deliver us. Make haste to help us, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after our souls. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire our hurt. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Be thou our strong habitation, whereunto we may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save us, for thou art our rock and our fortress. Amen. Let us join in singing hymn number 145 from Hymns of Dawn. Keep me, Lord. That's hymn number 145. We will sing all six stanzas.
Thank you.
Now we present to you our brother Chester Sunbaum of Saginaw, Michigan, who will address us on the topic, Full Assurance. Brother Sunbaum.
Thank you, Brother Cooper. Our topic is Full Assurance, and we have three scriptures which speak about this full assurance. Hebrews 6:11 tells about the full assurance of hope, and Hebrews 10:22 tells about the full assurance of faith, while Colossians 2:2 speaks about the full assurance of understanding. Each of these three have an important part in giving us this full assurance. When we think of assurance, it means to make sure, bring us to a condition of certainty. Someone may say to another who is troubled, "Let me assure you," giving the idea of that with the assurance they would feel confident and be brought to a condition of certainty. A person takes out insurance to make sure that his family will be taken care of. And assurance puts a person's mind at rest. A Christian's assurance is not connected with money, but does enable us to make ourselves sure of our standing before God, of our future, and also of the future of others. Now, hope is very necessary to have assurance. If a doctor tells a person there's good hope for recovery, the person will have assurance. But without hope, there can be no assurance. Now, the scriptures hold out a hope of better conditions. Yes, perfect conditions. Of the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. As Paul tells us in Acts 24:15, he rejoiced in this hope. He also said, "If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable people. But we do have this hope toward God, because the great Creator has held out this hope. And we have hope in this life, even hope of pleasing God, even in times of trial. As Paul said on one occasion, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Faith is also necessary, because faith is the ability to believe what God says. God's word sets forth the hope, but this doesn't help us unless we can believe it. Unless we can believe the things that God sets forth, the hope, we cannot have assurance. But we do have assurance when we have the ability to believe things that God says. Yes, even things that seem unlikely to happen. We believe this hope simply because the great Creator has promised these things. On one occasion, we find that Jesus was in a ship asleep while the storm was raging. And after they woke him up, he said to his disciples, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Jesus had much faith. God had promised him that nothing could harm him until his time came. And he believed this so fully that he was able to rest assured no matter what was happening without. And a Christian can similarly be sure of what God says to him through the Word. Yes, as he says, all things work together for good for the new creature. Again, we have the necessity of understanding, the full assurance of understanding. This means that we must know what we believe, and not only what we believe, but why we believe it. We find Philip saying to the Ethiopian eunuch, Understandest thou what thou readest? In Acts 8:30. And he asked the question, was Isaiah speaking of himself or of someone else? And then Philip explained to him just how the scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus. And we feel that his mind was at rest. He went his way rejoicing and was immersed. Now we see that it's one thing to believe that Jesus died for us. Very important fact, but it is another to understand why. To understand how divine justice is satisfied, a man's life for a man's life. That God might be true and righteous and still save us. Now, someone might argue that, well, it's not necessary to know why. All we have to do is to obey. But we believe that the fact that God has given us these things to understand is a proof that we need this knowledge. Jesus tells us that we are not merely servants, but friends. He tells us in John 15:15, that the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And this is intended by the Lord so that we can have the full assurance of understanding just what God is doing and why, just what our part is in his plan and why we do what we are to do. And this full assurance can come only from really understanding. We might be doubtful about a certain thing, and to that extent our assurance is not so strong. Mystery does not give understanding. That is why we are told, we're given to understand certain mysteries of God, so that we can have this full assurance of understanding. Sometimes around a home, some little mechanism might cease to function, and we take it apart and we see just exactly what is wrong with it. And from that time on, we understand just how it works. And that is along the lines of having an assurance that comes from understanding. Now, all of these three are important in order to have this full assurance. And we get these three, faith, hope, and understanding, that we might have full assurance by doing what God's Word teaches. Coming back now to Hebrews 6:10-12, we hear the Lord saying through Paul, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And then he goes on to say, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that ye be not slothful. And going on to show how this necessity of ministering to the saints, how this is one way of having the full assurance of hope. Now, the ministering to the saints, we understand, can be done in many ways. But no doubt the most important is to minister along the spiritual lines. We do what we can in a way of temporal things, but the highest of all form of ministering is to help them to understand the Word of God, to help each other, build each other up in this most holy faith. And in that way, we see that we do get this full assurance. We get the thought that God remembers all of these things, sometimes things that are small. Probably we ourselves often forget some of these good things that we do to others, and it is proper that we should. But God remembers. It says that he's not unrighteous to forget all of these good things that we do towards others. And in that way, we get an assurance of hope. Why? Because we are endeavoring to do what his word tells us. We can feel that we are doing and trying to do what he says, and therefore we can, as he says, have this assurance, full assurance of hope, by being diligent, not slothful in his work. Then again, we have the thought of faith. And faith requires that we be doers of the word. We read about James, for instance. It says, was not his faith shown by his works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar, when he had brought him to the altar? And it says, seest thou how his faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. We also have the statement in Romans 4:20 that his faith, he was made strong in the faith by his endeavors to trust God in every experience and at the same time to do whatever he could to in harmony with God's word. And the full assurance of understanding, of course, comes by experience. By experience in trying to study and to know what God's will is, and then to do as we're told, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we read also, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. The Lord has made this wonderful arrangement that if we actually are doers of the word, that we will learn more and more about the teachings, we'll learn more and more about his will for us. And so it is very much like learning a trade. We learn to do by doing. And so all our Christian life, we do endeavor to learn God's will and then to do it. And in doing this, we have confidence in God, our assurance is developed. Now going on to Hebrews 6:18, we have the statement that after telling us about the great hope and the great promise to Abraham, he tells us that this is given to us that we might have strong consolation or assurance, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now we see that our faith in what God says enables us to believe this hope, to lay hold on eternal life, as we read in 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, we have fled for refuge. We believe we did that when we consecrated. We left all to follow Jesus from this present evil world. Christ is our refuge, and we are in his body. And in that way, we have fled from refuge and entered into relationship with him. And having this position, then we have, as he says here, we're able to lay hold upon this hope that is set before us. We find that this hope was the great promise to Abraham. This hope is an anchor of the soul, it says, both sure and steadfast, that it enters within the veil, even into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus is the basis for all our hopes, and that he is in the presence of God now, and that he is doing everything that is necessary for us to make our calling and election sure. And then, going now to Hebrews 10:20, where it tells us eventually, a little bit later, about the full assurance of faith, he tells us that we have by a new and living way that we enter into the holy. He tells us here that this is by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way, contrasted with the Jewish law. This is a living way. And he tells us by means of this that we can draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our belief in his promises draws us near to him, because if we really believe sincerely, we will try to do his will. And we see how a weak faith tends to push us away from the Lord, but a strong faith draws us to him. And then he says that our having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The Diaglot says a consciousness of evil. This indicates that we have this knowledge of God's arrangement whereby we can stand perfect and complete before Him. And because of that, we can have this we're delivered from a consciousness of evil. We know if we every day try to serve Him, lay down our lives, try to serve Him acceptably, that we can have a clear conscience before our Heavenly Father and know that we're right with Him, that we're having a condition that we can approach to Him in our Lord, of course, and it's all because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And it also connects up with the thought of Him being our high priest who is doing, sacrificing us. So we see then that we have this full assurance of faith because we know and understand this divine arrangement and because every day we are endeavoring to fulfill our vow of consecration. And now we come to Colossians 2:2, which emphasizes the full assurance of understanding. And he starts in by telling us that he would that, in verse 1 of Colossians 2, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here we have this thought of being their hearts being knit together in love, knit together in the same love that the Father has for us, and the Son has for us, and that we have for each other. All the members of the body of Christ are built up by that which every joint supplies. And this is all, as we note, unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding. This tells us that we know what we are doing and why. The Apostle Paul didn't fight uncertainly, as he told us. He fought knowing just what he was doing. At one time, Paul had tried to keep the Jewish law, but now he knew that in his flesh dwelt no good or no perfect thing. And we find that the Jewish people of that time were divided into three groups. There were the Pharisees, whom our Lord called hypocrites, because they tried to keep the law and deceived themselves into thinking that they actually kept that law perfectly, giving attention to the small things such as counting out and tithing of small seeds and the minute details and the important things of justice, mercy, and faith they ignored. And so they thought or tried to make themselves think that they were very strict in keeping God's law, but actually they were just deceiving themselves. Then the second class were the publicans, who probably reasoned, well, there's no use, I can't keep this law anyway, and so they didn't make any effort hardly at all. And then there was the third class, like Paul, who realized that the law was wonderful, that it was a standard of God, and that he made a sincere effort to keep that law, but realized his imperfections and his inability. He was one of those that our Lord addressed when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, we find that Paul was one of those, and those that neither of the extremes of being hypocritical or to the other extreme of saying, what's the use? Paul realized that it was use in trying to keep the standard, the perfect standard of the Jewish law. But now when he had been delivered from this bondage, then he realized that he had a standing before God and that God accepted his best efforts. And so Paul was keeping his flesh under. And so we must do the same. We know that we cannot expect perfection in the flesh. If we do this, endeavor to think that we're sooner or later going to be discouraged with ourselves if we're honest, or if we're like the Pharisees, might become hypocritical. But the right condition is to realize our imperfections and weaknesses and to strive against them, and then trust in the merit of Christ to make up for all our shortcomings. And coming back now to the thought of understanding, the Greek word that's translated understanding, we're told that it means a mental putting together. That would be receiving one fact after another so as to form a reasonable conclusion, which we can understand. These things coming, of course, from God's Word. A detective, for instance, who is endeavoring to solve a case, he gets as many clues as he can, and then he puts them together in order to build up a case in which he is so sure of the guilt or innocence of a certain party that he can testify in court with assurance. And so we find it is so with us, that only as we endeavor to get the various items of truth and get them clear and properly related to each other, only in this way can we have the full assurance of understanding. And the Bible truth does this for us. We do get facts after facts as we build up our most holy faith. Each item we build up with this thought of understanding what we believe and why we are believing it. And in that way, we do get an understanding that gives us a feeling of assurance and certainty. We find that Jesus spoke with authority, whereas the scribes and Pharisees were not able to do this, because they didn't understand God's plan. They didn't even agree among themselves. But Jesus spoke as one having authority. He did have authority, of course, from the Heavenly Father, but we believe he also had that feeling of authority because he knew just what God was doing and why. And so we get one fact after another from the Word of God, and they put them together so as to form a reasonable conclusion that we can be able also to give a reason to others who ask for a reason of the hope that is within us. For instance, the subject of permission of evil. Until this is satisfactorily answered, we can't be sure, can we? We wonder why God permits these various calamities and wars and things like this. But when we understand the great plan, and especially the feature of restitution, then we can understand, and we can have a clear, we can understand this matter of why God permits evil. Without that understanding, there's always that question mark in our minds. But having that understanding, we can have full assurance. And so it is with all the various items. The understanding, building up fact after fact, promise after promise, here a little, and there a little, we are enabled to have this faith, this full assurance of understanding. The hope becomes clear to us. For instance, a skilled surgeon, he has confidence in himself. Not that he is proud or anything of that kind, but having had experience, knowing what the human body is, and having experimented in his days of college, he knows exactly what is in the human body. And he has confidence. He has assurance that comes because of experience. And so it is with us. We know why these various things. Now we know, for instance, why we should endure injustice. We know that it isn't right that we should endure injustice. But why do we do that? We do it simply because God wants us to endure this injustice at this time, and we know why. It proves our obedience to Him, that we're willing to obey. And in that way, you see, we do get to know why, what we believe and why, and it all builds up into a full assurance of understanding. Now we like to also mention that emphasize the thought of full assurance. We know that some people have no assurance of the future. Others have a little assurance. Others have more, and others have much more. But it is our privilege to have the full assurance, as these various scriptures tell us. And this comes, we believe, also with personal experience with God's dealings with us. We learn to have experience by learning his promises and then trying to trust him. Oh, yes, there are times when it is difficult, when we must fight a good fight of faith in our minds to lay hold on these promises and believe them, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, as we read in Romans 12:2. This proving, we believe, is something that comes by experience. Each time a new experience comes up, well, there's an opportunity to think of the promises and at the same time to make a determined effort to make those promises our own and thus to cultivate that full assurance of faith. And so this comes, we like to emphasize again, by an understanding of God's word. It is not a matter of tempting God by setting up our own ideas, such as the adversary suggested to Jesus by jumping off a high building or something of that kind that would be spectacular, but rather to try humbly to do his will. And then as we see by watching his providences, we see that we have his blessings. There may be times when we have an opposite experience, when we see, well, that wasn't the Lord's will for us. But then if instead of being discouraged, we ask the Lord's forgiveness and ask him to help us the next time, then you see we have learned something by experience. We've learned to have this experience and full assurance. And so Paul was praying for those that were already following Christ in Ephesians 4:18-19, that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, that they may know what is this hope and all that it meant. So we have this wonderful mystery of God and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the Lord has given us these various means, we believe, in the scriptures here. Coming back again, just by way of reviewing, that we have the full assurance of hope, the hope that is set before us. We have, this was in Hebrews 6:11. In Hebrews 10:22, the full assurance of faith, the ability to believe this wonderful hope that is set before us. And then finally, the full assurance of understanding that is brought to our attention in Colossians 2:2. It comes from the revealing that God has given to us of this wonderful mystery, which others cannot understand at the present time, but which has been revealed to us by God's grace and favor. So having these, we cultivate more and more this full assurance of faith, the full assurance, faith, hope, and understanding. And with these three developing in us, there can be no doubt, if we continue up unto the end, that we will finally make our calling and election sure, and thus hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sunbaum. We will now close by the use of hymn number 174 from Hymns of Dawn, Faith Looks to Thee. That's hymn number 174. Let us sing it all.
Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior.
the Lord bless thee and keep thee.